Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 29th, November 2018, Thursday class. So we are now prepared for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall chant the puja. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuto Bhagawa Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We shall chant from the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Panati pata veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adina dana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu michachara veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sura meraya maja pamadatana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of likes. Ganna sarapa ditena Dipena tamadansina Tiloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambarayutena Dupena hang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyantang Puja bhajana mutamang Panna ganda guno petang, petang kusuma santatin, pujayami munindasa, siri pada sarorohe, పూజేమి బుద్ధాం కుసుమేన నేన పున్నేన మతేన చ హోతు మోఖాం పూపాం మిలయతి యత ఇదాం మే కాయో తథయతి వినసభావాం ఆనివాసేతు నో బంధే పానీయాం పరికల్పితాం అనుకంపాం ఉపాదాయ పాతిగన్హాతు ముతమాం ఆదివాసేతు నో బంధే పాలే పరికల్పితాం అనుకంపాం ఉపాదాయ పాతిగన్హాతు ముతమాం ఆదివాసేతు నో బంధే భోజనాం పరికల్పితాం అనుకంపాం ఉపాదాయ పాతిగన్హాతు ముతమాం. Now we are chanting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses of the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajam. Bedang Pajam. Dhammang pujami, Sanghang pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Yeah? Just relax yourself, body and mind, completely relax. Then we will have half an hour meditation. You can silence your mind. If you already know how to meditate, just relax. Aware, silent, then the meditation will take off. Eh? For those who already have the spiritual faculty, you can meditate very easily. Eh? Your mind state are already the spiritual faculty, so you already have Saddha, which will calm your mind down. Your mind will be very calm and very composed because of the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. So this Saddha will make you peaceful. Yeah. Then the virya is after knowing who the Buddha is and how special the teaching is. it will give you the spiritual tenacity or spiritual zeal to walk this way, to do the training of the mind, to meditate, means to develop sati. That's how the spiritual faculty fall into place. Then once you develop it, this meditation training is to develop sati. Then you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. Samadhi means the sati very stable. Then the mind becomes unwavering, collected. Then when you have sati and samadhi in place, you will continue to see things as they are to develop the wisdom. It can insight into phenomena. It can let you understand the universal characteristic inherent in all things or all phenomena within our conditional. The universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, non-self or empty nature or existence, all this you will be able to see them clearly and awaken to them if you develop the meditation correctly. Okay, now we can off the light and you can start your meditation. For those who need to train the mind, you can go ahead and train. If you need to decondition your heedless thinking, then go back to your mind sweeping method, followed by metta. Then after that, stabilize the peaceful mind through anapanasati or any meditation object or skillful means that you are familiar with. Can off it. Off it. It's okay. So with that, I think you can start your meditation. I will ring the bell after about 30 minutes. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those that have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Jacarana sampano sugato lokavidu Anotaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditatbo Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Ujupatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo, pahuneyo, dakkeneyo, anjali karaneyo, anutarang punyaketang lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. สังฆังพุทเจโอเค You can be seated, huh? Then just relax body and mind, maintain some power, attention, then we can continue our second session. Second session is meditation reporting. You can report exactly how you do your meditation, then follow by any question regarding meditation or the teaching. Or how to apply what we have learned here, the teaching, to help you understand the application aspect, to help you solve whatever life problem you have, and also to develop the understanding to cultivate this teaching, the very special teaching of the Buddha. This teaching, as we all know, is very unique. It not only teach you how to understand life, understanding clearly who you are, and what are the nature's law that governs life and existence. Then when you understand all this, you will understand the secret of life, and you will know how to live life and make your life better, so that you can become a transformed human being. With beautiful understanding, beautiful virtue, and beautiful character. Your personality, character, and understanding will become different. It will make you very beautiful in all aspects. Then you will have noble qualities to live the noble life of the enlightened one. Then with that, you will have the good life, because no more suffering. There is only understanding within. The mind becomes very calm, very peaceful. Then everything is like so pristine, so beautiful. And it's like you can understand life so deeply, so thoroughly. And that gives you the ability to appreciate life, to give meaning to life. Then life becomes different. You have a different understanding of life completely. It will transform your understanding. And this is what the Dhamma is all about. It will help you develop the ability to really, truly live life to the fullest. You get to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life, the pristine beauty and wonders of nature. Then everything is like so meaningful, so beautiful. So this is how this teaching can free your mind, give you the very beautiful understanding, so that you can be free from all suffering. Nothing in this world can affect you anymore. Nobody can make you unhappy anymore. Even when things don't go your way, like this body go the way of nature, about to get sick or get sick, go through old age or about to die, there is no suffering, there is no fear, nothing. You can just accept the reality, because you know this physical body is not really what you are. It's made of element, can never be you. Then the consciousness part, when you meditate, you will understand that consciousness also is not you. It's impermanent. The aggregates of mind, they arise and they pass away. You didn't die. So how can this aggregate of mind be you? The mind that can feel, that can perceive, that can arise emotion, thought process, that can arise all the views, opinion, conditioning, all this than the mind that can make you conscious. They are all dependent originating condition arising cause of phenomena. That's why it has the universal characteristics of impermanence. If you attach, cling and give meaning, you will suffer. If you want things your way, which is not nature's way, you will also suffer. So the universal characteristics of impermanence will give rise to the universal characteristics of suffering. When you don't have the understanding, when you are deluded, the self-delusion that cling and hold on to things not in accordance with reality will lead to suffering. So all this will become very clear. Then when you see all this clearly, you will come to understand this human being is not you, the form and mind is not you. It's just a vehicle and tool for you to come to this existential world. This is karmically conditional for us to come. And because it is condition arising, causal phenomenal, dependent originating, that's why it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can hold on to, cling on to and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore all this can be mine. There is no such thing. And from this you will understand that the form and mind is not real. But this form and mind is subject to karma. That's why it has its duty. You have to have that understanding. You cannot simply do things with this form and mind. Whatever you do, it will come back to you through the karmic law, law of karma. That's why the Buddha always said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. And karma is very easy to understand when you have the correct understanding. The Buddha always said, you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. If you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. If you plant the seed of negativity or evil, you will reap the fruit of negativity and evil. So, knowing all this, you will be very careful about karma, because our entire form and mind's life depend on karma. Like the Buddha said, we are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it. And we are what we are because of that law of karma. So we have a karmic nature. We have to take care of this karmic nature. To take care of the karmic nature means you have to take care of your form and mind's karma. So to take care of karma is to take care of your life, so that you can have the good life. Otherwise you will become afflicted, miserable. So to take care of karma is to follow the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, cultivate whatever wholesomeness and goodness, then meditate to purify your mind so that you can develop the wisdom not to be afflicted by the conditioned world, by what happened to the world, and also by what happened to the physical body, the form and the mind. So all these are very beautiful teaching. Okay, this is to summarize for those who are new. Then for those who are already some time with me, it's like a revision to you, so that you remain focused on this teaching. You don't every Thursday class come or Tuesday class and Sunday class think that it's just Dhamma and meditation, but you didn't get the full picture. You must get the full picture, otherwise you cannot understand the teaching. The teaching is actually one teaching, very complete. It covers everything, all of life, mundane and super mundane. It's a complete teaching. And this teaching is so unique and so beautiful. That's why if you understand this teaching, you will have a lot of gratitude and respect for the Buddha. You will cherish it. It is so beautiful. It is priceless. Money cannot buy, and yet it's given free. That's why you need to have this understanding so that you will cherish this wonderful teaching. You will not let it pass by. Then the Maya saying is very good, because Theravada, they don't emphasize on this very important saying. To the Mahayana, they always say, birth as a human being is very rare. That's why they say in Mandarin, Zhen sheng nan de, Fo fa nan wen. So the birth as a human being is very rare. And even more rare is the encounter, is to encounter the Buddha Dharma. And you are so lucky in this era, in this segmented life. You're not only born as a human being, you even encounter the Buddha Sasana, the teaching. So the Mahayana saying put it very beautifully. He said, Ren sheng nan de, jing yi de. So difficult is it to have human birth, and yet you already have it. Then, Fo fa nan wen, jing yi ben. The Dhamma, which is even more rare to encounter, you already encounter. So what are you waiting for when you have the condition so beautifully laid out for you? And this is really rare, really, really rare. Like the Theravada teaching, the Buddha did mention, people ask the Buddha, why is it so rare to be born a human being? The analogy is, he said, there's a turtle egg. You crack a hole that is slightly bigger than the turtle head, throw it into the ocean, then every 100 years, the blind turtle surfaces once. The chance of this blind turtle's head, when it surfaces, hit the aperture of the turtle eggshell, is the possibility of you taking a human birth. You see how difficult is it? Not to say every 100 years arise one, every hour arise once or so, don't know take you how long. Because the four oceans in this planet or ours is so immense, so wide. It's not easy. So this is how fortunate we are. To be born during the Buddha Sasana, you must have your past karmic inheritance too. Although a lot of you may not know. But not everybody has affinity with the Triple Gem, the Sasana. So that's why you have human birth of different kind. But for us, we really, really very blessed. Not only human birth, we encounter the Dhamma. In this life, we are Buddhists. And we can learn this teaching, and it is given to us free. That as long as the Buddha's sasana or dispensation is still around, the teaching will be around. Okay, now, you just have to put up your hand if you want to report your meditation. Then we pass you the cordless mic. Where is the cordless mic? Oh yeah, it's in front of Christina. Anybody? No question. Then what you want me to talk? Cordless, yeah. Pass the cordless. Otherwise we can go through last week one. Last week, the short note is very good. Yeah, Colin, you go ahead.
Good evening, Brother Teo. I just want to share
Very good.
My experience today. It's something very different.
Very good.
Normally, in the beginning, I would feel sleepy or drift off.
Yeah.
Even times hungry.
Yeah.
But today I don't have this feeling.
Yeah.
and I'm quite awake.
Mm, yes.
Or the word I think is aware.
Yeah, aware. Yes.
I haven't even had my dinner and I don't feel hungry.
Yeah, you don't feel hungry.
So,
but after the class, you will go and look for food. Yeah.
So today was very, very easy for me.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, when I started, I saw some light.
Hmm. Sadhu.
So I thought it was the candle.
No. It's the nimitta inside your mind.
I don't know whether it's my mundane mind thinking.
No. It's the manifestation from your mundane mind. But when your mind become more calm, this type of phenomena arise. They call it nimitta. N-I-M-I-T-T-A. Nimitta. Means you see some form of light. Different people see different color light. And this light sometimes is moving very fast.
Yeah.
Moving very fast.
Wave.
Yeah, like wave, moving very fast. It's to show you the impermanent nature of light and energy. Then you can focus on it if you want to. Or you can stay aware of it. It's up to you. Then you feel very calm when you do that.
Yes.
There is an object of meditation.
Very free, yes.
And you feel very good. The energy is very good. And you feel very calm. Then that light will give you the faith, very strong faith. Then you like to meditate. Then after that, you experience piti very fast. The calmness, the piti, the spiritual calmness, or they call it the spiritual joy. Then when you continue to relax into it, silent, and just allow the anapanasati to go on, it will go into the absorption for a while. You can experience them all. But this absorption, when it arises, it will make you feel very good. Then it's like you have rested very long. Then you feel like rejuvenated, refreshed, completely recharged. Then after that, your mind very clear. You're full of energy. Then like you say, you're not hungry. You don't feel like you need anything. But after the class, when you go back, you will look for food because the stomach needs food. Need food. So you will experience all this. Then as you progress further, become more stable, and when you understand this essential Dhamma, you know how to strengthen your mind through the spiritual faculty, especially sati, to develop the silent mind. So in future, all your meditation will be like that. You will not have sleepiness, nothing. If you are tired, you will know, you just relax and rest, fully aware. Then your mind state is always peaceful, calm. Then later on, even in your daily life, it's like that. No more like before, agitated, excited, worry here, worry there, not mindful. No, completely different. It's like in the meditative state. Throughout the day, you are like in the meditative state. You are just peaceful, calm. With all the understanding that the joy, that's why the spiritual joy is always there, the piti. Then this sukhang will also come later on. Then you experience it. But continue to relax into it. Then let the mind settle down until it becomes very quiet, very still. Until it enters sati. Means it becomes tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. That is your true mind, your meditative mind. So that is an enlightenment factor. Then with that, you will be able to do your daily mindfulness. Then as you come out of your meditation, you realize you are different. Your mind is aware. Everything is like aware. It's like that mind and the awareness and the physical body become one. Then after that, when your mind enters sati, everything you see is a flow. Specific phenomenal awareness. The awareness and the phenomenon move as one. The moving car is the same. You are not looking at the car. It's like the awareness and the car just move. Then my voice, the awareness and the vibration of my voice together in synchrony. Then when you chant, also same. The chanting and the awareness become one. Then you realize, how come now I don't think anymore? I seldom think. That is the transformed mind. that is aware, heedful. So very good, sadhu to you. Then continue to report. Yeah.
Then after that, the white light suddenly just changed into something like pink, purple.
You will change purple, violet.
Kind of like a milky, like in the Milky Way.
Yes.
Like a something like a point.
Yeah, la, spinning something in, like spiraling like in. It's like a wave that's spiraling in. I write the word down. It's called nimitta. When your mind enter calmness, it will give rise to nimitta. So nimitta is a form of like you see light, seeing light phenomena. While in meditation. So this nimitta phenomena is very good. For beginner, if you experience it, you feel very good. That was what happened to me also when I started meditation. It just come very fast. Mine is always violet. They call purple. Mine is violet light. Initially when it come, the movement was so fast. So I like to observe that movement, the phenomena, very fast. It's ever changing. Then I can zoom into it. Then go into the exercise. You can play with it. It's just light, nothing else. It's an object of meditation too. The early day during the Buddha's time, they call this kasinas. There are 10 types of kasina, or they call it the object of meditation to develop concentration. And the light kasina, there are many colors which are included in the 10 kasina. So these are the meditation object they use for concentration, focusing. But for us is to experience the calm mind so that you like to meditate. Then when you are just aware, you don't worry. You won't go into one-pointedness. But if you want to try, you can. Then the energy will build up. So every time the energy builds up, remember, relax. You must relax. If you don't relax, you will go into samatha meditation. So the four support for meditation, the first one is relax. Relax into every mind state. Then aware. Then 24 hour. Then trust. So the first one, relax, is very important. Then after that, you just maintain awareness. Then stabilize it for as long as you can. That's why we say you can develop mindfulness over the entire day, 24-hour mindfulness. So that throughout the day, you are heedful, ever mindful. Then after that, what do you do?
It was very short. After that, I think you cough.
I cough. And yes, because like that fan. Then I had to cough. Because you are sensitive. Then when you are in that calm state, you are very sensitive.
Very strong. After that, later I thoughts start to come back.
Try to relax
again.
No problem.
But what I want to say is the experience is I don't have the no thought.
It
was beautiful.
When your mind is without thought, it's the most beautiful. That's why you must experience it. And it's not easy to have a mind that is without thought, I tell you. It is so different. So different. Really, really different. I tell you, most people can't even have one moment of without thought. They cannot stop the thinking. Because the thinking, you can't stop. Thinking comes from response to memory. So how can you stop thinking? But if you don't hold on to your memory, then there is no thinking. Understand? But because you, through your heedlessness and your delusion, you don't know. You have been holding on to your memory without you knowing it. That is what the Buddha meant by attachment. Attachment means what? No. Whatever you give meaning to is attachment already. Like you say, oh, this I must remember. Tomorrow I must do this. Or then you suddenly think, oh, my this office work I haven't finished. Oh, my report I must finish by when? Or my children coming back when? The moment you make a note, you give meaning, you hold on to it already without you knowing it. And that is what attachment is all about. Then through this is respond as memory. That's why sometimes the thought just pop up. Understand? But sometimes you want to have what they call good memory. You tend to every time want to remember that thing. So that will make you have good memory, but you won't have good mindfulness. Understand? When you hold on to things, you cannot have mindfulness. Because you keep on wanting to know things, wanting to recall things. No need. What you should do is, later on when you cultivate, write it down. Understand? Whatever you want to do or want, you write it down. So that you don't have to remember. Understand? And the good thing about doing this is, the funny thing is, when the time comes, the thought will pop up. Or when you see certain sign, then it will remind you one. Then you run, oh yeah, I supposed to meet this person. The sign will come on. They say, I don't have to remember anything. Of course, sometimes I forget, I completely forget. But most of the time, you tell me your dana did or what, where you know Kayamita, they keep on reminding each other. So then the WhatsApp there always got invitation, so you won't forget, is it? What is important is you must have a mind like a computer. You know, it's a computer. Computer got no emotion on, you know that? Computer doesn't get angry. But the user who don't have patience get angry with computer. So this computer thing is like that. There is a, they call it the RAM. Random access memory. Then there is a ROM, read-only memory. This one is for programming. The other one is not for programming. These are data. Understand? Not? RAM, they call it random access. So when you need only, you go and get it. Understand? Not? When you don't need, you leave it in the, you call it the hard disk. Or whatever, where they store all this data inside. And they got hell of big memory. But they don't go and touch it. Means they don't go and hold on to it. We all human beings got one brain only. We keep on holding on to it. Understand? So when you hold on to it, when you hold on to it, you hold on to all the psychological memory, which is the worst. Your fear, your insecurity, your frustration, your anger, your misery. Then all of your phobia, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your scars of memory. So all this you go and hold. That's why you have nightmare. You cannot sleep. You will land yourself in what they call depression. You have insomnia. That's all I say. It's because you fear the thought. You worry about the thought. You got so much problem that you hold on to. You lack understanding. You don't know how to resolve this. You don't know how to use your brain and your memory. Your brain and your memory is for you to remember what? Remember the important thing in life, understand? Not the psychological memory of your scars of memory, your hurt, your unhappiness, your misery. Why are you going to remember that thing? That will give rise to wrong thought, that will condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and all those things. But your memory is supposed to let you study science, mathematics, understand all, or where you live, your house, who are your family member, your friend, how you sign your check, understand? All those things is important, memory, you must remember them, so that you know how to go home, so that you know how to drive to your office, yeah, to visit your friend, your children, your whatever, parents or what. These are the normal memory that we need. And then you have to remember, these are like ROM. You need it for programming and using it, the daily. But this will not make you fearful, miserable, all those things, understand not? But these are not psychological memory. But you go and remember your phobia, your scars of memory, your misery. So all this will condition you. Suffering, your misery. So this is all thought is respond to all this psychological memory which are very negative. That's why it become wrong thought. It condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation and suffering. And you become miserable. And you can become really, really miserable until you become depressed. A lot of people enter depression because of that. Then from depression, they become cuckoo up there. They finally break down, enter Tanjung Rambutan. Now I don't know whether still there. So this is because they lack understanding. They don't know how to use their brain, their memory. Mm. Okay, Angie, you want to ask something? Yeah.
Yeah. Brother Teo.
Yeah.
When we talk about these mental aggregates, right?
Yeah.
So if we try to keep our mind calm, peaceful, like the computer, without emotion, without feeling, is that okay?
You don't try. Try means the thought is trying to do. So the thought cannot do. What I want you to understand is to develop the understanding that you should live your life like a computer, understand or not? Only the ROM. The ROM is only a little bit that you need to use on every day. Like your daily thing that you need to remember, your programming or something. So these are the things that you need to use. But it will not make you fearful, miserable, understand not? So this one you have to remember, understand not? Otherwise you cannot live. Otherwise you can't even remember who you are, your name. What is Pang's name also you may forget. But because every day you deal with him, he's your husband, that's why you have to have the memory. But you don't go and remember the memory of last time you quarrel with him, and all those things, or he did something to you. I better don't use this example. Somebody else did it to you. That type of negativity of memory, psychological one, that hurt you, or you hurt people, don't go and remember. This will bring about what? Misunderstanding, anger, hatred, jealousy. Then you like, this guy, last night did all this to me. He think I forget. Oh. See? Because this is the result of psychological memory which are not proper. So, as a computer, the computer got no feeling aggregate, understand? Not? Yet it don't have a mundane mind. So what does a computer do? Input, output, understand? Not? It follow the programmer's instruction. So you program the computer to work this way, it will give you the output. It's just like a nature's law, understand? Not? You instruct, he'll do. He just execute. That's why they got computerized trading. And you know why they have to stop the computerized trading? Because this computer got no feeling, man. He says, sell me, sell. All the way. He got no feeling. Man. Human being, limit down already. Still want to sell. You got feeling. You got emotion. That's why you can be affected. The computer, no. He just take instruction. So that's why they don't have feeling. But you cannot behave like a computer. Well, you are a human being. You are a human being. You have emotion. You have feeling. You are make up of tissue and cell with a consciousness trapped inside. So as a human being, you can use this form of mind as a human being, to live life to the fullest. You can really enjoy life, understand not? Live life to the fullest. Experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. So use it. Live. But the computer cannot, understand? The computer don't have a consciousness, understand? It cannot have feeling, emotion, and all that. But if you know how to use this mind, yeah, it's just like a tool, understand? T-O-O-L, for you to use. So if you use this mind correctly, by arising the right thought, remembering the wholesome thing, beautiful thing, virtuous thing, then this mind become beautiful, understand? Then you can use it for the good of the many. It's just like you use a knife as a tool for us to cut fruit, cut veggie, carving, shaving, or do whatever that helps us to perform those functions. But instead, if you are so deluded as to use the knife or the whatever sharp object to harm yourself, hurt yourself, and harm others and hurt others, that is the wrong way of using that tool, correct or not? So the thought is the same. It's the user of thought. The problem is not with the thought. It's the user of thought. If you use it with negativity, then thought become wrong thought. Thought become harmful. But if you use it with wisdom, understanding, and wholesomeness, then thought become beautiful. Right thought, wholesome thought. So you don't try to be like no feeling, like the computer. What I'm telling you is the computer got no emotion, no feeling. So he does not get angry on, he just execute. But what I want you to learn is like the computer, they don't attach and cling on to the memory that they have. That's why when they need it, they access it. So your brain should have all the whatever scars or memory, everything is there, no problem. But don't hold on to it. Understand? When you need to recall, recall. Then you learn from it. Oh, last time I was stupid, really. It caused me so much problem out of nothing. Because I was deluded. I thought it was real. I give meaning. I attack. That's why I reacted with what? Wrong thought, wrong view. I reacted with fear, anger, hatred, the evil root. If you have the wisdom, you can accept them for what they are. You don't have to react. They are just the way they are. Because they are also deluded. They also have anger, emotion. That's why selfish people do selfish things. Angry people do angry things. Deluded people do deluded things. So when you understand all this, then you realize I don't have to respond with anger. I don't have to respond with negativity, emotion, fear, worry, and no need. I just accept him for what he is. Then I become peaceful. That's how you develop peace. Not to say don't want to have feeling like the computer. No. I want you to learn the computer's way of random assessment. When you need it, only you go and extract the whatever psychological memory. When you need it to discuss with people, you forgot. Last time you also did this. Then you recall it, understand? Not a problem. Where you are using the example to explain to this person that not only I do, you also do. Where he tried to point out your mistake, isn't it? Then you recall and tell him, yeah, you also did. That's how I can recall. But I don't go and hold on to it. When you hold on to it, it means what? You already plan. Next time if I see him again, if he mention anything, I'm going to, like a machine gun, the whole thing come out. Means you pre-plan all this thing. This is what happens when you hate somebody. When you are angry with that person, you want to take revenge. You go and pre-plan all these things, I tell you. And you know what happens. Once got condition, it's like machine gun, just come out. Never even have second thought, no. Not to say mindfulness, straight away, because you are already so angry, so bottled up. Then you pre-plan all this. I'm going to teach him a lesson. I'm going to get it straight with him. And now what? You yourself getting more harm. You create this karma. In future, people will have condition, come back to you, and you come back. Why do you want to do this? No point. whatever you do come back to you as coming. So okay, that part. So the computer one, no need to act like a computer. Just the random access memory, that one is good. Yes, you need it, you access it. Don't need, put it there. So that it will not affect you, so that your thought will not respond to it. But if you will hold on to it and worry about it, that thought keep on appearing. And these are all wrong thoughts. You store the wrong memory. You store the psychological memory, which is wrong. You should store normal type of memory that you need to use for your normal life. There is no such thing as no mind, because mind is always there. So mind, like I explained, there are two types. Never mind, I explain here. Mind, there are two types. Two types of mind. But human being does not understand. The first type is the mundane mind, or we call it the thinking mind. Mundane or thinking mind. So this one is dependent originating, condition arising. This is your normal mind. Understand not? That's why we call it mundane. Mundane people rise. The other one is your true mind. And this true mind, can only arise when your mundane mind ceases. These two cannot come together, understand? It's either or. That's why there is no such thing as you don't have any mind. When people say no mind, they are referring to no thought, understand? No thought. No thought means no mundane mind. Then correct. But the true mind is there. If no mundane mind, who knows that there is no mind? Understand? The one that know that there is no mind is still a thought, understand? But the one that is aware without thought, that is your true mind. Especially people who do one-pointedness. When they are in the state of one-pointedness, their thoughts are all cute at one point. There is no movement of thought. Then they say, I got no thought. But they never ask, who say you got no thought? It's your thought. That's why no thought is still a thought, because you are using thought. That's why one-pointedness is thought-based energy. But the one in awareness that is just aware without the aggregate, without the words, without the concept of the mundane mind or the aggregate of mind, that one really no thought. There is nothing to tell you there is no thought. But the awareness, which is without thought, he's aware. Understand? He's just aware. There is no word, nothing. So that one is really no thought, no mundane mind. It's just aware, silence, stillness, tranquility. Just like that. No word, nothing. That's why awareness is, mindfulness is awareness before the knowing, before you know, understand? Normally you know through perception. When you perceive something, you start to know the thing. Like you perceive my voice, you perceive the whiteboard or the Buddha Rupang. Or you perceive whatever you taste, you smell, you tactile feel or think. So perception brings about knowing, understand? So that perception aggregate will create the knowing inside the mind. So awareness before the knowing means before the arising of mind to perceive anything. Means completely, you can say no mundane mind. But it's not no mind. There is still the awareness, which is the true mind there. Okay? Did you finish? Anybody else? you don't have means we can go to, I just send out to you all the Maikanyamita. You go to the notes, the note is very good. This is last Thursday. Oh, sorry, this one is Sunday. Oh, I have to retrieve the other one. This is the Sunday one, Wu Ping Qing Sir. The Thursday one is done by my daughter. I will get it out. You wait. Okay, I will send you the other one. Okay. You open the latest one. Can you open the file? Those don't have data, you ask Brother Tim for the Wi-Fi. Anybody need data? His house got very fast data. I think it's a streaming. Unify or streaming, I forgot already. Okay, anyway, I read to you. Brother's 22nd November Thursday class outline short notes. Brother will write on the whiteboard. You need the Wi-Fi. Good. Okay. Session 1, Puja and Meditation. The class was conducted at Brother Tio and Sister Padmasri's house. It started with Puja and a 30 minutes of silent meditation with simple instruction from Brother Tio. This one we did also just now. Then Session 2 is reporting of meditation and question and answer. Then there is a Sister Wendy. Sister Wendy shared that through meditation she was able to experience more moments of peace and better control of her mind state in day-to-day living. This is what you will develop when you meditate. The benefits of meditation is you will be able to experience more moments of peacefulness. And you have better control over your mind state. She can do it because her anapanasati was very good and is from her past cultivation. Then Brother Teo explained it is nature's law, the pancha niyama, that governs all of life and existence. So whatever that arises within the moment is the reality or what is, which we can't go against. Otherwise we will suffer. We are wanting things our way, which is not nature's way. If we have understanding of this truth as taught by the Buddha, then we can bring about possibility of change for the better. Hence, life need not progress along its initial perceived path. No longer seems out of control. Now, last time, this lady, Wendy, said she used to have moments of unhappiness. Suffering and misery and all those things, then she find it very difficult to overcome them. But then recently, because of what she did, she attended the class, she learned meditation. So she was able to automatically go to anapanasati. When she's aware that she's having this problem, she straight away switched to anapanasati, which is the third way, just maintain awareness. Then she can forget about that thing and continue to live her life. That's why she find it so beautiful. So I told her this is what she did in her past. That's why she can do it. It's like very natural to her. And no matter what the problem is, she knows it's not important. Otherwise, the moment he think, you think the wrong thought means it bring about suffering. So why must you think? If it's the wrong thought, it will condition your suffering, your misery, your unhappiness. So why go and think the wrong thought? You're supposed to abandon it straight away. So how she abandon it is very good. No need effort. She just go to Anapanasati, the third way. Just maintain awareness, mindfulness. Then she become quiet, peaceful, very fast. Yeah. So I read to you what she did. Sister Wendy said, on occasion when confronted with dissatisfaction, unhappiness, the mind automatically or naturally returned to her breathing to do Anapanasati, which brings about calmness and clarity of mind immediately, thus enabling her not cling onto the displeasure or frustration conditioned by her wrong thought, thus allowing her to move on with her daily activity and cultivation. Brother pointed out that this is one of the five ways as taught by the Buddha to abandon wrong thought. The third way can stop the projection of thought or sankhara and allow the mind to return to its original state of mindfulness of the in and out breath. However, this type of initial peace is usually not potent enough to root out all of our defilement once and for all. When encountering similar situation, this response is repeated over and over again, and at each recurrence, the mind is still initially affected by the negativity before returning to awareness of the breath to develop the peace within. To progress further, we will need to move on to the next category of cultivation. That is, we will need to develop the stability of wisdom via the fourth way to root out completely the cause of the dissatisfaction, unhappiness, delusion, so that it will no longer have power to affect us. And then the five ways I have listed it here, five ways to abandon wrong thought as taught by the Buddha. First way is to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. That is, to overcome anger, think of metta or love. When there is love, one cannot get angry. So to overcome cruelty, think of compassion, develop compassion, etc. The second way is to think of the consequence of holding on to the wrong thought. That is, wrong thought with the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion will be harmful to our body, mind, and environment. It will also bring about karmic downfall. Your life, if this is not what you want, then determine to abandon it. That's why when you reflect on the consequence of holding on to that wrong thought or evil root, it's an evil root, it makes you evil. It will cause you karmic negativity. That's why you must abandon it. Then the third way is to silence the mind and maintain awareness. So this is the meditative approach. That's why in the meditation, you don't have to do anything. Just relax, silent. No need to think. Just allow the thought to slow down and cease. If you just relax and silent, it will just return to its original state before the stirring, the thinking, or the agitation. But when you don't have the spiritual faculty, it's not so easy. Yeah, the mental hindering keep on conditioning the heedless thinking and your wrong thought. And you find it very difficult to meditate. Yeah, mental hindrance are the mental state that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So what are they? Restlessness of mind is one of them. Sleepiness is another one, sloth and torpor. The other one is doubt. When you are not sure, you don't have understanding, you tend to be doubtful. When you are doubtful, you are not confident. Your mind is not calm. That's why it becomes restless. Then when there is sensual desire, you will, means you are preoccupied with your thought, your emotion, like and dislike. So how can you be aware? So this five mental hindrance hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why the third way is just silence the mind. No need to know, no need to do anything. And let the thoughts slow down and quiet down and become still. That is meditation. Yeah. Then when you do this, this is called the meditative approach. By not disturbing or stirring the mundane mind via wrong view, the mind will return to its original state of inner peace and inner awareness before the stirring or reaction of mind. So this is a very important understanding. When you understand this, meditation becomes very easy. Then the fourth way is the wisdom way. The Buddha said, trace the origination factor and retrospectively reverse it via wisdom. This is the wisdom way, wisdom approach. We are cultivating the 6 internal and 6 external sense bases. Means you develop mindfulness of the 6 internal sense bases and 6 external sense bases. Then you will come to realize all of your anger, your fear, your hatred, your negativity of mind state, they come about through one of your sense experience. Either when you see somebody, then you become unhappy or angry, or you heard somebody say something bad about you, you become unhappy, or you recall a fearful thought, a wrong thought that has great impact. It also can affect you. There is fear. Or sometimes you recall an angry thought, what that person has done to you. So you develop the anger, the hatred in you. So all this, you can trace it. Because before you get angry, before the fear arrives, there was no anger and no fear. Then how did it arise? Then you slowly recollect. Oh yeah, just now when I recall that thing or that flaw, my thought become emotional. I develop fear, I develop anger, I develop unhappiness. Or when you saw somebody that you have fear towards, where they have bullied you before, or they tend to be a threat to you. So your phobia, your deep phobia, or your insecurity will make you fearful, panic. Then sometimes, especially when you owe people money, then you see that guy coming. Then you will try to avoid him, or you will become very uneasy about confronting him. So all these are the conditions that brings about your negativity of mind state. So the Buddha said, trace its origination factor. Then you know it's through one of your sense door activity. Then he said, retrospectively reverse it. How do you do it? So you have to reflect, contemplate. How come when I see him, I recall through memory, or when I hear this thing, my mind reacted and become unhappy, develop the fear, the anger, the unhappiness. So to reverse this, you have to ask yourself, how can I reverse all this? How can I, in future, when I confront all these things, my mind will be at peace? My mind will not stir like before. And this is wisdom. That's why I ask you to reflect on what the Buddha teach. He said, learn to see things as they are. The direct seeing, the awakening. So when you can see things as they are, means not according to what your memory tell you, understand? Not according to your views and opinion and conditioning that trigger off the wrong thought and make you fearful and unhappy and anger. You have to see things as they are, means see it as it is, without the memory, without the conditioning, without the views and the opinion. Means see that thing as it is. Then what do you see? You see reality, isn't it? Reality means what? He is just the way he is, isn't it? And that's how you straighten your view. If I can accept him for what he is, then that is the reality. If he is deluded, he will do deluded things. If he is a selfish guy, he will do selfish things. That is the one. That is the way he is. So I realize I have the solution to confront all this sense experience. Means I don't have to react. I don't have to stir my mind. I just have to accept him for what he is. Then when you understand the teaching, like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So if the causes and conditions behind is like that, which is mainly karma, because he said we are born of karma, add to our karma, condition supported by our karma, And we are what we are because of our karma. So when we fall sick, or we confront any of the First Noble Truth reality, like people cheat us, people scolded us, abused us, or our spouse did certain thing to you. So, you have to have the right view to accept that reality, because like the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions behind, which is mainly karma. So when you reflect, you become at peace, because you realize, this is coming. Last time I must have done this to people. Otherwise, there will be no condition for me to be faced with all this First Noble Truth reality that condition my misery and suffering. So when I understand that this is from my past karma, I'm willing to accept it. Understand? Then when I have acceptance, I don't get angry. I don't react. I don't act with fear, worry, anxiety. I don't blame. I don't do anything else. I just tell myself, this is wrong. I must do what I must do to overcome all this. If I need to repent, I repent. If I need to ask for forgiveness, I ask for forgiveness. Then I vow not to repeat all this. And from now onward, I vow to follow the advice of the Buddha to take care of karma so that in future I won't have all these problems. And then you can have the right view with regards to the world. The world is the world. There are causes and conditions behind, mainly karma. So if I have this understanding, I can be at peace also. Whatever that happened to me in my life, any of the First Noble Truth, it reality, that normally conditions suffering to living beings who don't have the wisdom, you can confront them without problem now. Because you can accept that these are reality of life and existence. Not only happen to you, happen to all living beings, all of humanity. If you live life long enough, you will confront them. So when you confront them with wisdom, with right view and right understanding, you will know, mainly coming. So you don't blame, you don't react, you don't become angry, unhappy, remorseful. You don't blame others, you don't blame yourself, you don't get angry with people. Because there are causes and conditions behind, which is mainly karma. So you do what you have to do. That's why I do the three things. Need to ask for forgiveness, ask for forgiveness. Then, make a determination not to repeat all this by following the advice of the Buddha to cultivate accordingly. Then, the third one is the turnaround. When you start to follow the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind, or meditate, and learn the Dhamma, you start to accumulate virtue, merits. Then the third turnaround is to invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to turn around, means overcome whatever problem that you have. If you have disease, sickness, or injury, you want to invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to recover to good mind state, to good health, soon as possible. You can. You can even use it to help others, your loved ones and other things. That's why we send metta, we invoke power of merits for their well-being and other things. So these are the application aspect of Dhamma. When you understand, then the fourth way becomes very beautiful. Then it becomes a solution. So I'll go back to the fourth way here. Yeah? Tracing the origination factor you trace through one of the sense doors, then retrospectively refers it through wisdom is to acceptance, to see things as they are just the way they are. People is just the way they are. The world is the world, cannot be otherwise. Condition like that, things to be like that, has to be this way. And whatever that confront living being, the First Noble Truth, it reality when it happened. Accept it. Well, this is a reality. And understand that behind it is always karma. That's it. Finish. Then you do what you need to do. And that is acting according to wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path. Means with right view, arise right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and the four right effort. Then cultivate. the four mindfulness. Sorry, the four foundation of mindfulness. The fifth way is more of willpower. Huh? With tongue against your palate, determined to abandon the wrong thought through willpower. Huh? Because to the Buddha, it's very simple. No? The first four ways he teach you, also you cannot do. Then forget about it. You go and do it yourself through your own sheer willpower, abandon it. Otherwise, you will suffer. You will become miserable. Hmm. Then number six, what constitutes evil? This is to help you to develop your cultivation. The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are the roots of all evil. They are also called the three poisons. They arise as defilement within our deluded mundane mind. If any of these three evil roots exists in our mind, it will cause us to respond to our life with evil intention, and it will also make us evil and kill us spiritually. People who break the five precepts are evil people with the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That is how they can end up killing people, harming people, deceiving and cheating people, committing sexual misconduct, tell lies, and become heedless. We are partaking intoxicants and drugs. The three evil roots are loba, which is greed, all your selfishness, your lust, your craving, your possessiveness, your covetousness, your deceitfulness, and your cunningness, etc., are all part of your evil roots of greed. Then the second evil root is dosa or hatred. All your anger, hatred, aversion, spite, enmity, malice, cruelty, dislikes, sorrow, lamentation, grief, envy, jealousy, etc., are part of your evil root of hatred. Then the last of the three evil roots is moha, self-delusion. All your fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, doubt, etc., are part of the evil root of delusion. Here, the delusion is mainly self-delusion, sakkaya ditti. Then number seven is the four foundation or establishment of mindfulness. So first foundation is kaya nupassana. Its main intent is to anchor our mindfulness to our kaya or our physical body, bodily movement and activity. Emphasis is on the first three of the six category of practices as stated below. So kaya nupassana, under kaya nupassana, the first category of practice is anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath to develop the stability of sati. The breath is a very neutral object, neither light, alluring, nor dislike, or fearful. Hence, suitable for most people with variety of personalities. As we relax into all mind state that arise, our anapanasati will become more refined until it reach the stage of subtle breathing. For us to realize the silent mind, until you like no more breathing, then the breathing like stop. Then during that time you will experience the silence. Then a lot of people don't know what to do after that. They panic. They thought no more breathing, can die. No, don't worry. Just continue to relax and silent and maintain that silence. Then you will experience the mind entering sati. So when mind enters sati, you will experience the silent mind. The silent mind need to be more and more refined. You need to stabilize it. Otherwise, it's not stable. So you cannot really experience it. But when you allow it to be for a long time until it's stabilized, then you will experience the silent mind. Then you will know what that thing is. And you will know the big difference between the mundane agitated mind and the silent mind. The silent mind that is not thinking, that is just peaceful, quiet, and just aware. It can be aware of contact, it can be aware of heartbeat, it can be aware of whatever pulsation, movement, just aware, 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 aware. Then all this also will slow down, finally slow down, slow down, slow down. Until finally completely nothing, quiet, still. So initially when you reach the silence, there is still the awareness, aware of all your bodily activity, your whatever heartbeat, pulse of life, whatever movement activity, your sense or activity, it's just aware, aware, aware. Just let it aware. But don't go and create thought. That's it. The moment you create thought, it will bring you out of the silent mind. You are no longer in that state. So just relax and let things be. Then allow it to quiet down, silent, until the mind enters sati, very stable. Then everything slow down, your heartbeat, everything slow down until like you no more heartbeat. So that is the training. So when you are able to reach that state of silent mind, that is the beginning of real meditation. Only then, after that, you can do your daily mindfulness. You will develop your daily mindfulness with clear comprehension, or we call it sati sampajana. Okay. After you are able to develop the anapanasati until the silent mind arises, then move on to cultivate the fourth posture, mindfulness of the fourth posture, standing aware, sitting, walking, and lying down, also aware. Extending the cultivation of meditation into our daily life. Mindful while we walk, when we stand, waiting, or sit down, or lie down to rest. Then the third category of practice is move on to cultivate sati sampajana, or daily mindfulness of all action and all movement, connecting the four posture in the present moment, to develop the continuous mindfulness, ever mindful, with clear comprehension of the four things, sincerity of purpose. Cultivate mindfulness to develop only wisdom through insight into phenomena and their three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, non-self, and empty nature of existence, to liberate or free our mind, thus developing the capability to accept life's reality in the world we live in, not to gain fame and psychic ability. Then second clear comprehension is domain of meditation. To understand that meditation can be done in any place, any time, under any circumstances, and in any posture, as in life itself. Then the third clear comprehension is suitability. The most suitable time is here and now. The most important people are the people around you now. And the most important place is also the locality in the here and now. Then the last one is clear comprehension of non-delusion. It's to develop clarity of mind, not to be trapped by the 10 defilement of insight. Then number four, mindfulness, fourth category of practice, mindfulness of the four elements, the wind element, heat element, earth element, and water element within our physical body that goes the way of nature. So this cultivation can pave the way for yoniso manasikara, or wise attention or wisdom at the moment of sense experience to arise. You can also link it to the five daily contemplation as advised by the Buddha. The Buddha always asks you to contemplate on this body, the four elements. This body of mind is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. For it has never gone before old age, sickness and death. So every day contemplate, reflect, so that when you are confronted with all these things, you will not be deluded. Then the next category of practice is mindfulness of the 32 parts of our body that comes together in order for the physical body to perform the function of a living being. then in bracket, analogy of a dismantling a block card to break free from the self delusion of having a permanent and changing form or self entity. Then the last one is mindfulness of the 9 stages of cemetery decomposition. So this is to develop the understanding that when the form or physical body is devoid of the consciousness, then it will go the way of nature. It will decay and break up till finally it's completely gone. This is to overcome lustfulness or attachment to beautiful form. When you see how your body decay, then the contemplation can tell you your body is not really so beautiful or handsome. It will one day be like the corpse. Stage by stage, it will decay. When you look at the decay process and your physical body, you will not attach to that body anymore. Because finally, it's actually like that. Not what you think. Then Vedana Nupassana, the second foundation of mindfulness. Mindfulness of feeling, where feeling has been conditioned into craving, which is sensual desire or ill will or like and dislike. The Buddha said, be aware. Be aware means, this is to inform us that the mind has stirred or reacted to sense experience, to arise the first 2 mental hindrances of sensual desire and ill will due to our wrong view. So when meditating, if the mind keeps thinking, stirring, the mind ends up always being clouded with defilements, emotion, deluded mind state, mental hindrances, the 3 evil roots, etc. Hence, no clarity. That's why you cannot meditate. Yeah. Analogy of the pool of water on the road, when not agitated by passing traffic, the sediment settles and it becomes relatively clear and not polluted again. The original state of mind before the stirring is just peacefulness and aware. The mind states or emotion that arise are conditioned arising and dependent originating mind states that arise due to our wrong view. So all these mind states or emotion are impermanent. Hence anger or fear that arise is not you, for they come and go or arise and pass away according to nature's condition. When they cease to be, you are still around. So how can anger and fear, etc. be you? Without giving the emotion or the thought any more mental energy to move or project further, the mind will return to its original state of inner peace and inner awareness before the stirring. Then it will be conducive to investigate deeper into the working of the mind via citta nupassana, which is the next step of practice. In order to see things as they truly are, without the interference of our views and opinion, tradition, belief system, fear, bias, society's conditioning, etc. That is to insight into the 3 universal characteristics inherent in all phenomena, careful observation of every experience and examine the causes and conditions supporting its unfolding, how fear, envy, and jealousy arise, how our minds stir and react to sense experience via our wrong view and conditioning, then act with wisdom and clarity, following Noble Eightfold Path, to resolve all matter amicably, no longer obstructed, blind by the mental defilements, the 3 evil roots. Cittanupassana, the third foundation of mindfulness. Mindfulness of the content of consciousness, beyond feeling, which is just one of the aggregates of mind, there are other mind states which are deeper. Upon contact of mind with its respective sense basis, consciousness comes to be, example, seeing consciousness. Before the input of content of consciousness by our conditioned mundane mind, which is deluded, the Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see as yet. But the moment one input the content of consciousness via one's wrong view and self-delusion, one associates with the seeing, thereby giving rise to the egoic mind. Without a very stable mindfulness, one cannot see all this. The cultivator must observe how does the mind stir and react due to our wrong view or lack of wise attention at the moment of sense experience, or yoniso manasikara at the moment of sense experience. Then consciousness plus its content is equal to your thought. Before the content goes in, it's just the pure consciousness. The content of consciousness depends on our views and opinions of things. Without wisdom, there is no equanimity. Hence, the mind will stir and react to create duality of positive and negative mind state. Be aware of the content of consciousness. Whether the consciousness is with the three evil roots or not, the distracted state of consciousness as the distracted state, the quietened state of consciousness as the quietened state, the state of consciousness not quietened as the state not quietened, the free state of consciousness as free, and the unfree state of consciousness as unfree, etc. This is for us to trace the origination factor leading to the cultivation of Dhamma Nupassana, which is the next step of cultivation. So under Dhamma Nupassana, there are five categories. Yeah? First one is mindfulness of mental hindrance. So this one is all in the sutta, the Buddha said. Yeah? To insight into how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be, and then to insight into how the arisen mental hindrance is to be. With this understanding and wisdom, the mental hindrance will no longer arise. So according to the sutta I have reproduced here, the sutta says, "Here, O bhikkhu, when sensual desire is present, a bhikkhu knows with understanding, I have sensual desire. Or when sensual desire is not present, he knows with understanding, I have no sensual desire. He understands how the arising of the unarisen sensual desire come to be. He understands how the abandoning of the arisen sensual desire come to be. And he understands how the non-arising in the future of the abandoned sensual desire comes to be." So this is how you cultivate. Then mindfulness of the five aggregates of form and mind, the two aspects. Eh? First as a human being, then the second one as a five aggregates, mental aggregates. Then the third category of practice is mindfulness of the six internal and six external sense bases, or the 18 sense rhyme. The six internal sense bases are your eye, ears, bodily tactile, nose, tongue, and brain or mind. The six external sense data are color, shape, and form, sound or vibration, object of touch, the smell, the taste, or the mind object. Upon contact of the two, it gives rise to the six respective types of sense or consciousness. They are seeing, hearing, tactile, smell, taste, and thought consciousness. Being aware or mindful of all this allows us to trace the origination factor, leading to our ability to straighten our view via understanding to retrospectively reverse it. Tracing its origination factor is to understand how the unarisen mental hindrance or defilements of anger and fear comes to be. If you are mindful, you will come to understand that they always arise via one of the senses. The more powerful ones are either via your seeing, hearing, or thought consciousness. At the moment of sense experience, if we lack wise attention or yoniso manasikara, our mind will stir via wrong view or wrong thought. Retrospectively reversing it is to develop the understanding how not to stir the mind via perceiving it with negativity again the next time we confront any of these sense experiences. The Buddha advises us to learn to see things as they are, suchness seeing, seeing what is. Example: are you expecting an angry person to listen to you or be kind and considerate to you? What causes this person to be angry? The answer is, he is just the way he is. That is, an angry person will do angry things. Selfish person will do selfish things. deluded or violent person will do deluded or violent thing. People are just the way they are. Or are you expecting the world or things to always go your way? It can't, because it goes the way of nature, following nature's law. And it can't be otherwise, because once the conditions are such, things will be such. And that is the reality, or what is, the isness of things. That is, the world is the world. When conditions are like that, things will be like that. This understanding and wisdom liberates and frees the mind from its disappointment, frustration, dissatisfaction, negativity and suffering. Then the next category of practice is mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment. This one you go back and read, it's all there. Then finally is mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths, the last category of practice. So for this mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths, you have to do it via cultivating its three turning and its 12 mode. To realize the three types of corresponding wisdom called Sutamaya Panya, Chittamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya. Then know how to live life as a noble one, having noble qualities in all aspects of life, having the four right effort to constantly purify their mind. This need constant heedfulness. Yeah. So the four right effort are all described there. You can go back and read. So the last one, even though life is not so real, just a phenomenal world of consciousness, a condition arising phenomenal passing by, arising and disappearing, as real as it can be. The present moment is so transient, split second is gone. Moment to moment life passes by, what are you doing? Are you mindful of the moment, which is the only reality in life? But there is such a thing as a human being or a living being, a form of mind, subject to karma. And karma recognizes relationship. So we must act wisely and appropriately. You will understand all this and do your right duty accordingly when you have realized the Dhamma. So this above short note, draft was prepared by Sui and Sister Sandra, the Singapore girl. Okay, that's it. So we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. We will share merit and transfer merit, then you can make your aspiration. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana ita wata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect to Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Then we end.
Brothers and sisters, let's express our gratitude to Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo for the compassion in coming here and share with us the profound Dhamma by saying sadhu three times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And sadhu to Sister Elsie for fetching Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo here. tonight. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And sadhu to all those present tonight for making the present effort to be here to listen to the Dharma and all the offerings. Right, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Yeah, we should thank gratitude. Today is mainly gratitude for giving us a very good dinner too, and also allowing us to use their home for our Thursday class. So we should all rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And also, yeah, and also there are some other refreshment for you all. So all those who brought their puja offering too, we rejoice. You can bring the food over now.
Buddhist